ओम हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम गणानां स्वगणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनां उपमश्रवस्तमं तन्नो दुर्गे प्रचोदयात् ओम शांति 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 ओम शन्नो मित्र संवरुणः शन्नो भवत्वरियमा शन्न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः शन्नो विष्णुरुक्रमः नमो ब्रह्मणे नमस्ते वायो त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतो तद्वक्तारमवतो अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः अहं वृक्षस्य रेरिव शरेरिव कीर्तिः पृष्ठं गिरेरिव कीर्तिः पृष्ठं गिरेरिव ऊर्ध्वपवित्रो वाजिनीव स्वमृतमस्मि ऊर्ध्वपवित्रो वाजिनीव स्वमृतमस्मि द्रविणगं सवर्चसम् द्रविणगं सवर्चसम् सुमेधामृतोक्षितः सुमेधामृतोक्षितः इति त्रिशङ्कोर्वेदानो वचनम् वेदानो वचनम् वेद ओके वी गो स्ट्रेट टू दैट नेक्स्ट वन देवपितृकार्याभ्याम् न प्रमदितव्यम् देवपितृकार्याभ्याम् न प्रमदितव्यम् मातृदेवो भव पितृदेवो भव पितृदेवो भव आचार्य देवो भव अतिथि देवो भव अतिथि देवो भव यान्यनवद्यानि कर्माणि यान्यनवद्यानि कर्माणि तानि सेवितव्यानि
तानि सेवितव्यानि
नो इतराणि
नो इतराणि
यान्यस्माकं सुचरितानि
यान्यस्माकं
सुचरितानि सुचरितानि
सुचरितानि
तानि त्वयोपास्यानि
तानि
त्वयोपास्यानि नो इतराणि
नो इतराणि
ये के चास्मच्छ्रेयागुंसो
ये के
चास्मच्छ्रेयागुंसो ब्राह्मणाः
ब्राह्मणाः
ये के चास्मच्छ्रेयागुंसो श्रेयागुंसो
ये के
चास्मच्छ्रेयागुंसो ये के चास्मच्छ्रेयागुंसो
ये के
चास्मच्छ्रेयागुंसो ब्राह्मणाः
ब्राह्मणाः
तेषां त्वयासने
तेषां त्वयासने
न प्रश्वसितव्यम्
न प्रश्वसितव्यम्
श्रद्धया देयम् अश्रद्धया देयम् अश्रद्धया देयम् श्रिया देयम्
श्रिया देयम्
ह्रिया देयम्
ह्रिया देयम्
भिया देयम्
भिया देयम्
संविदा देयम्
संविदा देयम्
अथ यदि ते
कर्म
विचिकित्सा वा
कर्म विचिकित्सा वा
वृत्त विचिकित्सा वा स्यात्
वृत्त विचिकित्सा वा
स्यात् ये तत्र
ये तत्र
ब्राह्मणा सम्मर्षिणः
ब्राह्मणा सम्मर्षिणः
युक्ता युक्ता
युक्ता युक्ता
अलूक्षा
अलोक्षा
धर्मकामास्युः
धर्मकामास्युः
यथा ते तत्र वर्तेरन्
यथा ते
तत्र वर्तेरन् तथा तत्र वर्तेथाः
तत्र
वर्तेथाः I'm sure you all must be remembering this Anuvakaha, 11th paragraph of the Sikshavalli, the first chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad, presents the Dharma Shastram in a nutshell. And we have been seeing Panchamaha Yajnas were again emphasized as disciplines to be followed. And then whatever a person does and how I should do, what I should do, when I should do, why I should do, any doubt comes or anything comes and what should be followed, whom should we follow. We need some guidance sometimes, not sometimes, the whole life actually is well guided. The way of life itself is presented in the Shastra. So here, whatever has been emphasized or whatever has been prescribed in the Veda Shastram, those things prescribed in the Shastra must be definitely followed. Yani anavadyani karmani tani sevitavyani. No itarani, those things which are not recommended by the Shastram need not be, should not be done. They should be just given up. Then again, even if you do not study the Shastram also, sometimes we can always follow the footsteps of elders. Who are the elders? Not merely age-wise elders, but elders in the sense in Vedic society, those who have understudied, understood, not simply understood, those who also live the teaching, you know, and are their lives also, the inspiring lives, not mechanically inspiring, and the inspiring life which is in keeping with the Shastra teaching, which doesn't contradict the Shastra teaching, and those biographies also we can follow. It's 1 minute. Tan yanyasmakagum sucharitani
yanyasmakagum sucharitani
yani asmakam sucharitani. Okay, So, the lives of Mahatmas or whose teachings are our lifestyle were in keeping with the Vedic teaching, which did not contradict the Vedic teaching, they should be followed. Tani Tvaya Upasyani. They should be remembered and they should be followed. That is, it's a must, okay? Many things are presented here. If you study Shastram, understand Shastram, follow Shastram, it is enough. You have to remember here, Dharma Shastram is for preparation of the mind. And here, Jnana Shastram or Moksha Shastram is for Jnanam. Knowledge. For preparing the mind for knowledge, we have to understand Dharma and we have to live Dharma. It is mere understanding, mere knowledge of Dharma is not, it will not be effective. It will be effective if you also live the Dharma. Whereas in Jnana Shastram or Moksha Shastram, knowledge itself is effective. Need not be practiced. That's why Swamiji always says there's no practical Vedanta. We don't talk about practical Vedanta. Why? Because there's no Vedanta is what? Jnanam. Jnanam itself is effective. Jnanam itself, knowledge itself is mokshaha. There nothing needs to be practiced. But what is to be practiced? Whenever people say the Vedanta needs to be practiced, they mean the Dharma Shastra part of the Veda, not the way actual Swarupam of Brahman or Atma Swarupam. Once you know Atma Swarupam being Brahman, finished. That's all. What else is there to be for you to practice? It need not be practiced. It's a fact which is already there. You understand the fact and accept the fact. It is difficult for us to accept the fact as long as we understand the fact. Isn't it? So all that we need to do is understand the fact, accept the fact, take the ownership of the fact. Finished. Whereas in Dharma Shastram, you need to study, understand, and try to implement. Implementation also is important. That's why he says, Tani Tvaya Upasyani. Those must be followed by you. Okay, simple. No itarani.
Yeke chasmachreya gumso brahmana.
Ye ke cha and those who are asmat shreyamsaha, those who are shreyamsaha, the most revered people among us, are more revered than us. We are all revered people only, but Shreyam Saha means Namme Katlum Sirandavarhal. So, Asmat Shreyam Saha. Shreyam Saha means Shreyas means a great person. Shreyam Saha means what we say? Great people. The great personalities, the elders. And who are the great people? Who are the elders here? The elderly great, even the young also is okay. Okay? Great people. Brahmanaha. The great people, who are the great people? Brahmanaha. Who are the Brahmanaha? Not those who are by birth Brahmanaha, not those who are just by karma Brahmanaha, not the jati Brahmanaha or guna Brahmanaha, karma Brahmanaha, but guna Brahmanaha. Those who are by nature, by attitudes, by lifestyle, by vision Brahmanaha, guna Brahmanaha. Okay. And everyone is supposed to become a guna brahmana. Okay, brahmanaha means those who revel, who have the luxury of reveling in the vision of Brahman, being the very self. Who are the brahmanaha? Those who have the luxury of reveling in the vision of Brahman, being their own self. Yar Brahmanaha. And such people who have widest vision, who see everything as Brahman, who see everything as Bhagavan, and who do not in their buddhi, such Brahmanaha, that how they have studied Dharma Shastram and they have lived Dharma Shastram, they are soaked in the knowledge of Dharma Shastram, and they are the well wishes of everybody in the society. And such people, those who do not look down upon anybody, those who do not disrespect anybody, those who do not think of the those who are interested in the well-being of everybody in the society, such people, well-wishers of the whole world, such people who can be the well-wishers of the whole world, not the one who does to go and do something. Being wherever they are, loka samasta sukhino bhavantu, if you can, that's why always we chant that also, whether we are able to do that or not, at least by chanting we will get that. For one to have such wide vision, to think of the well-being of everybody, one must have what? One should have this. One must submerge oneself in the whole vision of the Shastra. Therefore, such Brahmanaha, if they are there, Tesham Purataha, okay, in front of them, Tvaya Asane, when you happen to sit in front of them, then you stop talking. You should only listen to what they are saying. That's the only way you can learn from others. Na prashvasitavyam. And it is not suppression or oppression. It is not making you feel humiliated. People always think, I feel humiliated, I feel humble. No, it's not that you are not humiliated. It's not making one humiliated. It is not that suppressing or oppressing, making you feel inferior, or making other person feel superior. We have to be very careful. We always think we make other person feel superior and you make me feel inferior. So you ask me not to talk, and then it's all misunderstanding. Nowadays there's a problem with all youngsters of recent days, even India and anywhere in the world. Especially the idea is because they are 100% well-wishers. When elders talk, when they know more age, experience, knowledge, lifestyle, everything we value. Therefore, when they say, and whatever they say is more sensible, therefore better, let us remain quiet and calm and listen to what they say so that we can learn. This is a thing, isn't it? Tesham tvayasanena prashvasitavyam. Tesham tvayasanena prashvasitavyam. Shraddhayadeyam. Shraddhayadeyam. Okay, later on, the danam as an important thing is discussed here. Danam, giving, is... See, giving itself is having a sense, being fair, isn't it? It's having sense of fairness. When I get something from other person, I should definitely give something else in some form or the other. Isn't it? Dhanam. When I consume, I also contribute. I enjoy, I also help others enjoy. In some form of form or the other, I return for whatever I am blessed with. Whether this person gives me or not, somehow I am enjoying, but still I had to be giving back in some form or the other to somebody or the other. The dhanam is emphasized here. It's also to widen one's mind. And when you give also, Shraddhaya, Deyam is a potential passive participle of the root Da. Danam, gerund, giving, gift, and Dadati, Diyate, Deyam. Deyam, Datavyam, Deyam to be given. So eppadi kodukkapada vendum, how should anything be given, that is said here, how should anything be given? When you give with all reverence and with respect, with care, as expression of your concern and warmth and love, this shraddha, okay? Shraddhaya deyam, then ashraddhaya adeyam. And one should let not anything be given without shraddha. Without shraddha means with a heavy heartedly, without wanting to give, that is giving something without wanting to part with that is giving ashraddha. Okay? Tamasa Rajasa Dhanam. Ashraddhaya Adeyam. May you not give anything without Shraddha. And other meaning is Ashraddhaya Deyam. At least give without Shraddha. But giving something without Shraddha is better than not giving at all. So, then he said, then Shriya Deyam. When you give and don't give, you are a very rich person and don't give just 50 pence. Very rich means what now? In keeping with your, if you are very, 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 very poor, that is why we have stories. This enquiry, you know, the woman was starving. He didn't have anything to give. He had only one gooseberry she could give. Oh, gooseberry I also would have given. People think, hey, when your situation, no? In keeping with your capacity, whatever you have, may you also give. So, Shriya Deyam. I mean, give. Abundantly, in keeping with your capacity. If you yourself don't have, how can you give? No problem. Give whatever, at least give a cup of water. That's what she said. Whatever in keeping capacity, one should be able to give. Then, Hriya Deyam. Hriya Deyam. Hriya Deyam. And Hrihi means modesty. No, politeness. Humility. So when you give also, I'm able to give only this much. Even how much ever you are giving, whether you are giving 1 rupee, 1 penny, 1 pound, 100 pounds, 1,000 pounds, how much ever you are giving, and when you give it with or modesty, humility, I'm able to give only this much. That means what? No, I'm giving. Before even I give, I send my address and name to the temples to put up Ubayam. My name needs to come there. Okay? When companies give and they want people to know the company names. So they advertisement also. But when we give, we want our, let me, there's no hrihi. You are giving something better, very, very good you are giving, but there's no hrihi. Hriya de, then bhya deyam. When you give also, see, we think, I am giving money, but why should I be frightened? It's not frightened. See, if the Shastram says, if you enjoy so much from society, enjoy so much from the nature, and you are consuming so much of the, so much of Mother Earth, and if you don't give anything at all back to anybody, any such thing in society, then you accumulate what? There is something called papa. Some papa. So, to avoid, I don't want to have that papam. It's called pratyavaya doshaha. Oh, if I do not give anything back at all, I will incur pratyavaya dosham, pratyavaya papam. Oh my God, let me not have that papam. Okay? So, at least with that fear of not becoming a victim of pratyavaya dosha, bhiya, bhihi means fear. With the fear of avoiding the pratyavaya dosha, may you give, may it be given something or the other, whatever is possible for you. Then samvida deyam. Samvit literally means consciousness. Samvit literally means awareness. Okay? But here samvida means with what now? We don't give anything blindly. When you give something, you be conscious of giving something consciously, knowing what you are giving, whom you are giving, how you are giving, how much you are giving, why you are giving. If this dhanam, if you are giving it with consciously, then there is no doubt, no question. no problem, no criticism, isn't it? Otherwise, just we should be prudent also. But samvida deyam. Then, athayadite. Why I want to say here in East Ham, one of the temples, they started giving lunch. Every day, annadana. Now what happened? Annadana, this may be meaningful. See, giving prasadam in the temple is a culture. Isn't it very good? When you make it an annadanam, when people go, something they should get from Bhagavan as prasadam, mainly it's just for them to feel, I got prasadam from Bhagavan. It's such a, something they feel revered, they feel really supported. They go back home with the feeling that Bhagavan's prasadam they have got. It's emotional strength, isn't it? That's a culture. But now they started giving annadanam in the afternoons. What happened? All the shopkeepers in the road, nobody cooks at home. And they come, it becomes very easy for them. And then they eat, they pack also and take. Why? Because it's very difficult for them to get back home late, and wife has to come or something, all started taking. And not only that, they started putting all the plates all over the road. And the complaint has gone to council, and council came and they told, stop them. This is not dhanam. Okay, so samvit. Are people poor? Are they starving? They don't have food? Not annadanam is annadanam. Please give as much food as you want to. It's a culture. We have to give food. Food is something people, when you give, they'll say enough. Other than food, anything else you give, they will never say enough. How much you want? 10 pounds? More, okay, helpful. We never say no, yes. But food, you have to say enough. That is why annadanam is very good. At the same time, you should not be given to people who are not starving. People who do not want food. Who can earn their life. Isn't it? Anyway. Samvidadeyam.
Samvidadeyam.
See, danam must be with the prudence. Then, thereafter, athayadite.
Athayadite.
Karma vichikitsava.
Karma vichikitsava.
Vritta vichikitsava syat. Vritta vichikitsava syat. Atha. Then, yadi, if, te, for you. Karma vichikitsa va. Va means R, O, R. Vritta vichikitsa. Vichikitsa means doubt. Chikitsa means curing treatment. In Tamil also we have the word chikitsa. Chikitsa is Sanskrit word. In Tamil we say chikichai. Chikitsa has become chikitsa in Tamil. Chikitsa means treatment, curing. But vichikitsa means doubt. Usually doubt comes where? Doubts regarding performance of rituals, actions. And vritta means conduct. Vritta literally means, here vritta means conduct. If we have any doubt regarding the performance of rituals, how this ritual must be performed, how I should do it, any if a person, because it's all addressed to the people of students of Vedic period, if they have any doubt regarding the performance of worship, ritual, etc., or if they have any doubt regarding their conduct, how I should behave, how I should conduct myself in this given situation, how to handle this given situation, the doubt comes. Vritta vichikitsa, karma vichikitsa. We don't have any other doubts, okay? This, if the doubt comes, vasyat. If there is yadi, karma vichikitsa asti, va, vritta vichikitsa asti. If there is doubt regarding karma or vrittam, the conduct, what should I do? isn't it? Shastram says the three sources of knowledge. One, we should follow what the Veda says. And the second thing, we should follow what the Smriti says. Shruti, Smriti and Sucharitam. Or you can say, Sucharitam means other elders. Not only elders, I mean the great people, the great personalities whose lives reflect the Shastra teaching. Shruti, Smriti, Sucharitam. And of them the doubt, suppose we have doubt. If there is contradiction between Sucharitam and Smriti, follow Smriti, ignore Sucharitam. If there is contradiction between Shruti and Smriti, then follow Shruti. What a most authentic source. To clarify any of my doubts, I should follow Shruti is the top most guidance. Okay? Shrutihi should be, Veda should be followed. Shruti means Veda. Why do you do this? How do you say this? Shruti Pramana. Follow Shruti. Suppose between the person and the Shruti, what should you do? If you give importance for the Mahatma, then Shruti, if the Mahatma, what he says is in keeping with the Shruti, you can follow him. If what he says contradicts the Shruti's teaching, then follow the Shruti. Ignore the person's teaching. Why? Because in the Vedic culture, Shastram alone is always highly revered. No individual teacher, not one person is never looked up to. We revere them if they reflect, if their teachings are in conformity with Shastram. Otherwise, no. That is the difference between cult, isn't it? Hindu dharma, the Sanatana dharma, the Vedic culture never recommended, accepted the hero worshipping. Or, isn't it, cult culture. Okay. Shastram is the authentic source of knowledge. Therefore, and here he says, and not only that, in this context, Upanishad also wants to highlight the importance of sampradayaha, the tradition. See, there are few reasons why the teaching sounds confusing. Teaching should not be confusing, actually. Generally, when people see, okay, this Hinduism is very, very confusing. It's a very firm belief of many people. There is some truth in it. Some truth, that's not really speaking, it's a lack of understanding of what it teaches. It makes people think that it is confusing. Why such notion is there? It is all highly confusing. Why there is such a view? Why do people have such view of, you know, everything being confusing here or confused? The reason is, first reason is, we have vast scriptural literature. Shrutihi, Smritihi, Puranaha, Itihasaha. Look at this. Shruti, Smriti, Puranaha, Itihasaha. Literature is too vast. Big, bulky, voluminous literature. Scriptural literature. One reason. And second, see, there are 1,080 branches of the Veda we have. But now we have only 6 branches. Even six branches itself, understanding, studying six branches itself is a very big job. It's very, very difficult. This is said by Veda itself. There's a story in Veda. It seems Bharadwaja Rishi once, decided that he should live his whole life studying Shastra without doing anything else. Because knowledge is knowledge, nothing greater than knowledge. So he wanted to study as much as possible. So he spent all, he asked for a boon from Indra. It's a story, okay. That he spent all 100 years, the whole span of life only for studying. And 100 years are over. Then next year after what now? He hasn't studied much. And he again asked for, I want 300 more years. Indra said, okay, given, go back. And he came back, again 100 years he studied. Again he asked for another 100 more years. 300 years he studied and studied and studied and studied. And he came back after 300 years and he requested Indra to tell him how much he has studied, how much he has learned in 300 years. And he really wants to know, to assess his knowledge. And Indra showed huge three mountains. And he told him, Indra told this Bharadwaja Rishi, please go and bring fistful of mud from each mountain. And he showed, Katradu kai mannalavu kalladadu ulagalavu. What you have studied is this much in 300 years. What you have yet to study are though like this. Three mountains. Why I am saying? Because the vastness of literature is such, but our lifespan is too small. Isn't it? So much is there. And here what happens, such being the case, if you want to know any one aspect, you always have to know the whole thing. It's like how in the many doctors here, they all must be knowing this. Study of anatomy alone is not enough to cure to prescribe medicine for physical problem, isn't it? Study of physiology, any to deal with any physical problem, study of anatomy, study of physiology, study on some understanding of psychology, everything is important. If we think the study of the physical anatomy alone is enough for treating the physical problem of a person, then that is called reductionist approach, isn't it? This is not possible, it is not enough. That means to know one given problem of one given system, it is very important for one to have the knowledge of the whole system. It's not enough. Here also, if we want to know about karma, then it is important for you to have the whole vision of the Veda. If you want to have any doubt about upasanam, it is very important for one to have the knowledge, the vision of the whole Veda. One part, knowledge of a given aspect is possible, dependent on the having the vision of the whole thing. If you want to understand one verse from Bhagavad Gita, it is very important for you to have the vision of the whole Bhagavad Gita. To understand the contextual, what is exactly that verse expressed in a given context. But to have the whole vision of the whole Gita, you must study the Gita verse by verse. Is it clear? Similarly, that is the problem. Anything, if we have any doubt here, whether it is, you know, the marriage, whether problem in anything you want to know, how the marriage life should be, how the brahmacharya's life should be, how the karma should be performed, how one should conduct in this situation, what should I do, to know anything with reference to Veda, to understand that it is very important for one to have the whole vision of the Veda. And to have the whole vision of the Veda, Vedic vision, one should have studied the whole literature, scriptural literature, the whole of the scriptural literature. Okay? This is one of the problems. But even though we consider it a problem, it's a greatness. Okay, one thing. And the second thing will go. The second reason here is, when you say scriptural literature, the Veda, Veda teaches, Veda, subject matter of the Shastram, is for people, not for only one person, not for only one given group of people. The teaching is for all the people of society. That means what? It is like when you go to supermarket, IKEA, I know only IKEA recently, I've been. IKEA, and then they will have everything there. They will have all sorts of things. But I should know what I want. I'll be very clear. Otherwise, I'll be like, I'll go mad. I should know exactly what I want, and I can go and pick up. I cannot find fault with the people. I have to walk. My God, how long should I walk from here to what I want is only there. That must be only here immediately. Then IKEA will be a very good shop. IKEA is meant for people of different needs. It should provide everything for whoever wants anything. They should be able to go and get it and enjoy. They should make their lives comfortable. Similarly, Veda also is what now? Veda is teaching, the scriptures teach, the teaching is for what now? All people of all the entire society. And people of society are not of the same levels. People are of different ashramas, and people are of different varnas, and people are of different, this spiritual development of people also of different, people are of different levels. So the teaching cannot be the same for all the people. One person in Bhagavad Gita, we have this. Sometimes we say, come on, worship Bhagavan in this one form. And for some people, they said, see, Bhagavan is the whole universe. And for some other people, we say, what now? Where Bhagavan is of the nature of formlessness. You ask a person to worship one form, and you tell the person to worship Bhagavan in the form of, as the whole, and you also say Bhagavan is of the nature of formlessness. Ekarupam, anekarupam, arupam. And one place we emphasize in Mundaka Upanishad, the karma is condemned. Performance of ritual is condemned. Condemned means what? Limitations are pointed out so that you will not be interested in karma, you will be interested in pursuit of knowledge. And Taittiriyam, now what we are studying, yanyanavadyani karmani tani tvayopasyani tani sevitavyani pitrutno danam, do all the karma. Do that karma, pitna, all the panchamaha yajnas. Devayagya, perform rituals, offer oblations to Dev Bhagavan. So karma is prescribed. Look at this. Taittiriya Upanishad emphasizes presence the Dharma Shastra. And the Mundaka Dharma Shastra karma is the limitations of karma are pointed out, mentioned. And we go to Mandukya Upanishad, I tell you, the concept of Ishvara is condemned. Upasanas are all, limitations of upasanas are discussed. That's why we should not study Mandukyam in the beginning. You know, only Brahma Swarupa Nididhyasanam alone is emphasized, highlighted. Upasanas, limitations of upasanas are mentioned. You know, performance of rituals are condemned. Everything, even Ishvara is not, is not at all condemned actually there. Suppose if somebody starts studying Mandukya Upanishad without the help of a teacher or translations, you know what, it will sound like an atheist Upanishad. It is not atheist Upanishad. That means what? Different, isn't it? So why karma yoga is emphasized and karma is condemned? How can one live a life of karma yoga if karma itself is not recommended and jnanam is praised? That is why Arjuna had the doubt in third chapter of Bhagavad, the very first question of third chapter, this third first verse opens with the question by Arjuna, Krishna, what is this? You are praising karma, you are also asking me to do karma. You are praising jnanam, but you are asking me to do karma. Contradiction. You are praising karma, you are praising jnanam as the only means for moksha, and you are asking me to do karma. And you say, ahimsa paramo dharma, and you ask me to go and fight. Contradiction, isn't it? Okay, that's a different topic. Anyway, I'll come to this here. Now, what I want to say, this shastram, mainly, that's not the point here I want to say. Actually, the teachings are for people, different teachings for different people of different levels. People of different levels. Therefore, all the teaching are there. But who should be taught, who should take what? Who should follow what? That doubt comes. Oh, Sal, now we don't need to go to temple, don't need to worship. You know, all this is very, very preliminary. Meditation is the way. Some people say this. This that doubt comes. Some people feel very upset. Why only meditation is the way? What about this worship and prayer? Because Shastram, one place, it emphasizes the what now? Worship, prayer, performance of ritual, disciplines are emphasized. One place, these are all secondary, not necessary. But who should follow which teaching? That is not clear. Okay, because it is like, now when you prescribe a medicine, whether it is for Asian or Africa, they had problems. Asian, the report, blood report itself differs. No, Asian and African are English, European, and in keeping with your thing, sometimes the dosage is prescribed also. Okay, even the general things are there. And keeping the intensity of this is dosage varies from person to person. Medicine varies from person to person. Food varies from person to person. Why? Because what your system needs should be given. Similarly, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, in keeping with your spiritual development, you know, this the sadhana also has to be prescribed. Sadhanas are different for people of different levels. That does not mean people of different sadhanas are looked down upon as inferior, or people or other sadhanas are looked up to as somebody superior. No. People are all the same, but people are of different levels, so they need different sadhanas. And scripture prescribes everything all over. Therefore, what is the conclusion? It is full of contradictions. The second disadvantage, but really it is not disadvantage, it is a most comprehensive teaching if it is understood properly. See, why misunderstanding? The second problem, okay? And the third reason for mistaking this as a confusion is the dharma. See, when we say this is right, this is wrong, and it is easy to understand what is right and what is wrong with reference to certain things at superficial level. We are very clear, this is red color, this is green color, there is no doubt. This is right, this is wrong. Certain areas, superficially, when you want to know what is right and what is wrong, it is very clear, no problem. But the same dharma, when you go deeper and deeper and deeper, at deeper levels, sometimes you do not really understand it is right or wrong. That means what? It is not very clear, you are vague. Because the duties of a person, one person, when he has to play different roles, the duties vary. Husband is ill, sick in the hospital, and suppose here NHS. In India we don't have NHS, okay. This person needs, husband needs 2 lakh rupees for a ordinary family, person of ordinary background, for operation, surgery. And the son who has to go to the university also needs to pay 2 lakh rupees as a fees. Only, as a father, as a husband, he has a duty, isn't it? As a father also has a duty. What should he do? Which is right? Should he spend for his wife? Should he spend for his son? Duty. Yeah, it's a duty for him to look after his wife. Duty for him to look after his son also. What the doubt comes? Unless the son says, don't worry about my studies, dad. You first look after mom first. That's also, that's another thing. Suppose it happens vice versa. Suppose the elder's parents are there. Mother or father is sick. The daughter's marriage comes. Oh my God, it's more important. Already all the elders will say, please let the daughter's marriage is more important and let it happen, doesn't matter even if we die. If only the parents say, it is okay. Suppose the parents expect the son to look after them, want some treatment. It's very embarrassing. What is there? What is right there? Duty. Who's right? Is this Kumbhakarna or Vibhishana? Doubt comes. Vibhishana ignored his own brother, came and joined Rama. He had a reason. Because I want to be by the side of Dharma. But Kumbhakarna knows, he knew he was not right. But he thought, no, there's a family loyalty, okay? My brother, my elder brother, he looked after us, so I had to be by him. Who is right here? Even Rama, what did he do? Left his wife, somebody said something, and he abandoned his wife, Sita. And All the women get very emotional. Rama is very bad. He shouldn't have done that. How can Rama do this? Why should he give import for some ordinary washerman? But, and Rama as a king, as a protector of these citizens who really respects the feelings of his citizens. He has to keep everyone in good humor because, and at the same time, as a husband, it's bound and duty for him to defend his wife against anybody in the world. Who else will defend? For a wife, husband is everything. Isn't it? That is why the very important thing. What should he do? The very word Raja, there are so many word meanings for the word Raja. Rajate iti Raja, one who shines as Raja. And Prajanam Ranjakaha Raja, one who really keeps his citizens in good humor, looking after them all the time, is Raja. As a Raja, as a Patihi, as a husband, what should he would have been done? What should have he done? What was right on his part to do? Like doubt comes. So these are all like that. I'm going to give you one or two examples. Like this, there will be so many occasions doubts will come. Doubts will come. These are superficially, it's okay, very right. It's very easy to say, isn't it? Doing my duty. This is right, this is wrong. This is my duty, doing my right duty is right. Ignoring, avoiding my duty is wrong, very clear. But situations, when they arise, you do not know what. So, that is why what we do, our scriptures, such is called Dharma Sankatam. Dharma Sankata. Dharma Sankata. So, such situations, how should, you know, Dharma Sankata, what should we do? Isn't it? Doubt comes. And so really, through the stories, these are all really explained. Through source stories, Dharma Sankata situations are presented and explained. Therefore, what happens then? People who interpret situations, you know, different interpretations, and they're very subjective, heavily, heavily subjective. Now, what we say is, Dharma is not the absolute, Dharma is relative. So in terms of right and wrong, also our shastras do explain through stories, but it needs to be, understand now, dharma. These are the things also make us feel the scriptures leave us behind vague. Third reason. The fourth reason, Vedas, now we have to understand. Vedas are, all of our scriptures are timeless, we say. Timeless Shastra. Kalatita Shastra. Timeless, we say, really, in fact, we can, even if we say 5,000, 10,000 BC, still the scriptures are very, very ancient. When you say very ancient, and the way of life, the whole Shastra has the way of life prescribed there, presented there. So, it teaches the situations, it presents the few situations, and knowing, understanding which we will understand the spirit of those situations. We have to apply the spirit of those situations, know the whole life when we happen to face new situations in life. I'll give you an example. It's like, is Pooja Swami, our Swamiji's example. Swamiji's example of driving, learning to drive. When you go to a driving school, the person with, you know, we have to have elbowed. You know, elbow and the person teaches you driving. Now, all the traffic rules you learn with the help of the driving teacher. And the driving lesson itself involves 10. Here you also have exam, no? Theory, you know, you have to write exams also. You have to have practical marks also. If it was, I wouldn't have got my driving license ever at all here. No. So driving means you learn common certain situations and all the traffic rules and whatever traffic rules and regulations you learn and with practical knowledge, isn't it? It's not simply writing exams. And with the person you drive and you understand and you really get the spirit of driving, understand, and you know few situations you have learned, how to drive here, how to drive there. And with that itself will give you sort of how to drive anywhere, any place, any situation. You don't really, the driver does not take you to all the roads in the city. Every road in the city, every signal he doesn't teach you. He teaches in one given place with certain things. And afterwards you are free enough to drive anywhere. Suppose if you happen to drive in India, as you are driving on one road, there is no such thing called special thing we have that is like this. On one road, we will have buffaloes, we will have, you know, goats, we will have also what now? We will have
camel.
Sometimes. And we have bullock carts. Bullock carts will be there. Bullock carts, yes. Even now, bullock carts.
Paddy drying on the.
And then, yeah. And we have auto rickshaws and fut-fut. You know, in Rishikesh, I used to get scared, my God. You know, and. And in Kerala, if you go, elephants also will be coming on the road. And then turn to the bicycles. And then that too, cars with, you know, the bicycle without lamp or light or anything. And the roads also have lots of pits and no holes. And if somebody drives there, that is why people who come from abroad, they'll say, we will not drive here. No, they have not, that situation is not included in their driving lesson. Isn't it? So like that, it's not, it's Swamiji's example, okay? That means, who will, every lesson you have to learn and then go and do is very difficult, like that. Veda also is very ancient. You know, what should be done now, isn't it? Suppose in those days, we should not even cross the ocean, go anywhere, sannyasis. That is why Shankara Mata Acharyas are still sitting in India, they're not coming here. They will not cross the ocean, come. And then you know, after coming here, now that's why the new Hindu Smriti is needed for all the children who are growing here. What to do? So generally we need to have something. Anyway, so how the marriage should be done, when the marriage should be done, how what should be done. For everything there is a thing. Answer, there's a. Any doubt comes, you have to refer what now. What should you follow? Shruti. Shruti, Smriti, Sucharitam. Anushtanam of elders. Doubt comes. And here, therefore, the lives, every situation of our life is not discussed in the Veda, but isn't it? Those, whatever situations are presented in the Veda, whatever is taught there, those things should be, what now? Used now to understand, to handle the present situation. That means that those Vedic teaching, isn't it, must be correctly interpreted to find a solution for the present problem, the present situation. You have to follow what? The same Veda only. But that Veda, Vedic teaching, how should be interpreted to handle this situation? Isn't it? Therefore, Therefore, we say it needs a proper interpretation, proper unfoldment. And that unfoldment of the teaching, the interpretation of the teaching, right interpretation of the teaching is also already inbuilt in the very teaching, which is called sampradayaha or mimamsa. So far, that is why, how to avoid these problems and to see the most beautiful teaching, to understand the teaching being very comprehensive, the only solution is to study this shastram, to understand it with the help of the teacher. If we study on our own, we will, end up with our own interpretations justifiable for us, then, we'll be wrong, we'll be misguided. Therefore, understand now why important the teaching methodology is inbuilt. So who are the people? People who have studied the Shastram, lived the Shastram, who revel in the vision of the Shastram, who have thorough knowledge of the Shastram, and who are absolutely non-judgmental and confidential, who are very clear. Now, such people are, those who remain, but for them, soaked in the teaching. They know how to interpret correctly. Appropriate interpretation they can do. They are called sammarshinaha. Sammarshinaha means what? Those who are really like how jamun and rasgulla is soaked in the syrup, sugar syrup. Like those who are soaked in the knowledge of the Vedic vision. Isn't it? Those who are soaked in this Shastra Jnanam. And such people, sammarshinaha, because they have the wide vision, who sees everything as Bhagavan and Brahma, such people, sammarshinaha. And that we should never do any doubt comes. Karma vichikitsa, we have to come back to the lesson now, Karma vichikitsa, dharma vichikitsa, now jnana vichikitsa, or vritta vichikitsa, any doubt you have, shrutihi smritihi sucharitam. Sucharitam, there's a contradiction between sucharitam and smriti. Just ignore sucharitam, go to smriti. If smriti contradicts shruti, ignore smriti also, follow only shrutihi. And it should be interpreted by whom? Sammarshinaha, Brahmanaha, Sammarshinaha, those who know how to interpret it correctly. Understand? Now, why there is this problem? This problem now at present is because we have got all the translations. In India, for a long time, they never allowed our scriptural literature to be printed at all. Because when people read the translations, they miss the interpretations. If we, without the proper, appropriate interpretation, if you simply read the translation, you will think what rubbish it is, nonsense it is. You feel really disgusted. Really, you will not like it. And then people will, actually Westerners started translating first. It's appreciable in a way, even they appreciate. But it's also great damage is what? We misunderstand and we get confused, all confusions. Because that is why it's very, very important to study everything. No, I tell you, this Ramayanam. People think Ramakatha, okay? Go to Rama, Ramayanam. Basic story all of us know. Dasharatha was childless, had three wives, and he did Putra Kameshti Yagam, and he had four sons, and Rama was born, and Avataram, and then Vishwamitra came and took him there, and then he got, you know, he broke the bow, and then he got married to Janaka's daughter Sita, and then he came back, and then somebody said something, and Ravana kidnapped, abducted her, then something happened, and he died. It's all the story we know. But you know how much is there to study, understand? Just the story is not important. In Rafa Ramayanam, if you want to know, there are 8-9 tikas are available. Tikas, explanatory notes for that. But different acharyas. There's a website, I don't want to confuse you. There's a website called, if you put Ramayanam from Chennai, somebody has put all the tikas in Sanskritam. From one Visheshadvaita tika, one Advaita tika, one Dvaita tika, and some other tikas, and then made translations, also explanations. Where's the time? Now, why I'm saying here, so much is there. Everything needs to be studied. Doesn't matter how much you're studying. It is better not to get confused by collecting so much. At least learn little properly with the help of the teacher, so that at least you won't have confusions and doubts. Understand? That's why any doubt comes, who should I follow?
Ye tatra brahmana sammarshinaha. Ye tatra brahmana sammarshinaha.
So the qualifications of the person who should interpret, who should guide you, the present situation which has to be handled, the present doubt in the form of regarding the karma or conduct, we should approach people and they will teach us correctly what I should do. Sammarshinaha. Sammarshinaha, moohiyavargal. Shastratala moohiyavargal. Those who are soaked in the Shastra vision. And alukshaha.
Okay. Please go and have a tea and come back soon.